with you for just a moment? No? You want me to lie? Okay. You know, growing up really sucks. It's really hard. Because now, you know, we've lost that innocence of children and the dreaming. You know, we realize that as we get older that our decisions and choices have real consequences. Right? And then that may drive some of us to fear and be petrified and indecision. Right? But growing up is so hard. Because now we know a lot more. And maybe because we know a lot more, we know some of the risks. Maybe because of the risks, we're afraid to even step forward. Jeremiah, God, what a poor guy. You know, he says to our God, I was duped, O Lord, and I allowed myself to be duped. You duped me. Because he thought it was easy, just preaching, right? And maybe some of you thought maybe this life of faith and life of Jesus Christ was just so easy. You just go out, you tell someone, okay, Jesus loves you, and this is how Jesus loves me, and immediately they're just going to believe and change their lives. And Jeremiah's like, wait a minute. You know, here I am, I'm preaching your word, and guess what? People don't want to change. In fact, they want to kill me. And so he's like, okay, here's the thing. I'm just going to shut my mouth and not say a word. You know, because I've had it. This is just too crazy. You know, I kind of wanted to do this Christianity, or I kind of want to do this thing, but I don't know anymore. And as tempting as that option was, he felt that fire burning within inside of him. He felt that truth that needed to be spoken. I hope and pray that you and I have that same courage to take up our cross and to follow after our Lord. Because when all is said and done, we follow a God who was crucified for our transgressions. And it is our hope that we will rise with him on the next day. We forget that part about Christianity. You know, we remember all the cool stuff that Jesus did, like the miracles and the healings and all of that. But it's hard for us to stare the cross in the face. But what I'm here to share with you, my friends, is that love makes demands. Authentic love makes demands. And our Lord showed that to us on the cross. And proved it even more in the resurrection. But love makes demands. But we don't want to hear that. Because society and the world tells us that love should be just free with no restrictions whatsoever. That just love is love. But whenever I look back on it, in every instance that I've experienced authentic love, I recognize too that love makes demands. Because we don't want to call it that. Right? Here at St. Monica's, we celebrate 160 or so weddings a year. And I'm sure, I think Monsignor Torgerson does like 99% of them, right? But what's amazing is the fact that we have these couples here that are publicly proclaiming their love for each other. But within their vows, they're also making demands. As they're promising, I will give you everything of me, no holds barred. They're also saying too, at the same time, that I want everything. I demand that you are faithful to me. I demand that there is no aspect of your life that remains hidden from me. That we share this life together authentically. As I am open to you, so that you are open to me. Love makes demands. Think about any relationship. What about boyfriend, girlfriend, right? It's always nervous, you know, especially for guys. It's like, there's that question. It's like, okay, so we've been dating for a while, so, like, what are we? You know? Because love makes demands. We want that exclusivity. We want that definition. We want to say that it's I and you and you and me. Our hearts cry out for that. What about the love that parents have for their children? You know, love is grossly unequal if you think about it in that way. When a parent looks at their little child and they're crying and they're sick, aren't their hearts moved to pick them up? To stop their cries? I was helping my sister take care of my niece for a few months on my day off on Tuesdays. God, it's hard. Oh, it's so hard. But what struck me was that we have so many single parents who do it on their own, and that just amazes me. And I look at that as difficult. But it's love. That relationship of mother and child, it makes demands, real demands. No longer could I live my life as free as I was when I was quote-unquote single. I'm different. I'm changed. Love has changed me. And this relationship has changed me. Love makes demands. When I was sick as a child, and I always thought about that. The first time in my adult life that I was really sick, you know, I think it hits everybody. Maybe they're in college and they're by themselves and you're really sick and you have that fever and you're shaking and whatnot. And you're like, God, I just want my mom. And you're like, it sucks so bad to be sick and alone. Because you want someone just to be there and take care of you. Because you remember those times that when you were ill and how comforting it was when they were there. Not because you could repay them back and not because the child could ever show equal love back to the parents. It's not about that. Love is grossly unequal, but it makes demands. Or in the beautiful relationship that I remember when I was in Korea. I was in Korea during the winter time and had an opportunity to go to this orphanage. But this orphanage was for children with extreme disabilities. And like a good Catholic, I was sitting way in the back, right? And I was a seminarian at the time, so I was like, okay, I deserve to sit in the back, right? So I was sitting in the back of the church, and in comes this woman with three disabled children, and they were just all over the place, you know? And it was so difficult, and I was just watching her at the end, as she came into Mass, you know, taking off, you know, the shoes, the layers of sweaters and the clothing. By the time that she situated herself, it was already time for the gifts to be brought up. And then again, at the end of Mass, finally, I just sat back and watched. And one of the ushers, I think he was well-intended and moved with compassion for this woman, he walked up to her and he just asked her, it must be really hard. And I still remember her face. She looked back up and her eyes filled with tears. She said, no, it's because I love them. Ask any mother in here, what would she endure for her child? To the outside, to us looking in who are not part of that relationship of love, we look at that and we go, oh God, that must be so hard. Oh, it must be so difficult. But no. Love makes demands. And she heroically responds, not because of the demand itself, because of just simple love. That relationship has forever changed her in her heart. When I was a seminarian, you know, we were sent to these different apostolic locations. And on one instance, you know, I had an opportunity to go to a retirement community. And I still remember this old man, George. He's about 86 years old. And he was there faithfully visiting his wife every single day. He had this old fold-out chair that he would just pull out from behind her bed. And you could hear it because it was kind of rickety. And he just slammed it down and sat down. And he had this old book. And he would just read every day to her. And every time she would doze off and wake up, he would tell her who he was. I'm your husband. Don't worry, I'm here. And he looked around her room. It looked as if the wallpaper was covered by her family photos. And one day I just had the courage and I said, why do you come every day? Because I wonder if she would remember or know that if you weren't here because her dementia was so advanced. Again, he said, it's because I love her. She is my wife. Love makes demands. And it's grossly unequal. But we respond generously from that source of love. Because when we identify that when I am loved, it changes us and it changes our lives. What happens when the world wants to tell us that love is easy? We get confused and more self-centered. Have you noticed that all the things that we have right now, electronics, smartphones, texting, Facebook, people are more connected than ever before? Because in 20 minutes, I could scroll through my phone and find out what everyone's doing in my life, you know? And then everyone will find out what I'm doing because I get tagged in almost everything wherever I'm at. So, but then why do we feel the most disconnected? I feel it. You know, we're talking more and more, but we feel like we're not even being heard, to the point where now it's like we're paying people to hear us. Isn't that the irony? There's something that we're missing. Maybe we're missing that loving relationship where it calls us to live heroically, not just for ourselves, but beyond ourselves. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, you know, had this great, great observation. He said, we want profit without risk. We want knowledge without study, and we want love without sacrifice. That's what Peter wanted. He didn't want his life to be disturbed. He thought, everything's perfect right now. And Christ says, no, we have to go to Jerusalem. Because I don't want that. I don't want this to change. He couldn't see. He couldn't see that the same love of Christ that found him needed to be available to us all. Some would look at the cross and say, why do we need that archaic image? Let's just get rid of it. It's not who we are, but it is. It's exactly who we are. It's ultimate proof that love makes demands, and sometimes it makes us pay the ultimate price. To give everything that we have, all of our effort, all of our love, all of our being, because we identify that we are loved. God so loves you and I that he would rather die than to spend eternity without you. That is how much he loves us. And I'm sure we didn't demand it, because we are like that child who just cries out in need, help me. What is the love of God to do but to give? Maybe that's why you're here tonight. Maybe you're crying out for something, for love to find you. Maybe you're crying out for God to find you, to feel that love of God, to say that, God, help me feel love so that I can change my life. Change my life, not because you demand it, because of the fact that I love you. That's the only reason why I became a priest. If you think about it, what would drive young men not to be married and have children? I know I don't look that crazy, but maybe I am. Who knows? Because of that loving relationship with our God. It was so real that he calls me to live this life. Maybe that love is calling you to find relationship with one another through that beautiful sacrament of marriage. You've found that one person that God has called you to say, everything that I have is yours. And maybe you're already in that vocation of being a mother and father, where you get to participate in that deep mystery of love, where it's grossly unequal, but makes loving demands. This is our God. This is the God who loves us. People who look from the outside will never understand. They will see you and they will see me and they'll say, you're crazy. This God business. But maybe, just maybe that after you leave here, that as you share your story about how you encountered the love of Christ and how in the deep mystery of who Christ is in your life, that he has changed you in some way. And I hear this all the time, and I'm absolutely amazed by it. That the love of Christ would change someone to convert themselves to say, okay, I used to be Protestant. And I was happy being Protestant, but now I find myself deeply and immersed, and now I'm a Catholic. I've heard that before. What other love converts us if we allow it to? So for the young people here, soften your hearts. Allow the love of God to touch you, to convert your heart, so that when we look upon Christ, that we don't see this person who is making demands and telling us how to live our lives, but we freely choose it because of the fact that we realize, maybe for once in our lives, that I am deeply loved beyond all telling. I hope and pray that you discover that for yourself. And I hope and pray that as you are present here at Mass, that that commitment of love is renewed in your heart each and every time. Just as I struggle and try to in my own heart. And it's hard. It's hard. I wish I was left in ignorance. But we can't. Just one last true story of a friend of mine. Talk about conversion of love, right? You know, we used to go over his house and play, you know, video games all the time and just hang out. You know what normal Asian guys do all the time, right? And just playing video games. And he was kind of, let's just say that you know, guys, admittedly, I think we're slobs. Okay, maybe some of them aren't, but generally we're kind of slobs, right? It's kind of like, you know, watching, I think Bill Murray said it best in Ghostbusters 2, right? Did I just date myself? No? Okay. Well, he said, you know, I just don't have clean and dirty. I have but many subtle layers, right? So he was one of those kind of guys, right? And then we start going over his house, we're like, discovering like, hey, it's kind of clean. What's going on? And we kind of shrugged it off and, you know, more and more. He's sad to say, I'm sorry if you're hearing this, but he used to have like a unibrow. Next thing you know, that was all cleaned up, and we're like, man, what's happened to you? And it was then that he finally told us, yeah, I'm sort of seeing somebody, and you know. And I thought, my God, love changes, huh? First of all, I'm shocked that anyone would claim you. But secondly, just how much that you're changed. Think how miraculous you and I are in our own imperfections, with our own sinfulness, with our own habits of destruction at times. God loves us tremendously. The love beyond all telling, where he pours out everything of himself for you and me. May that knowledge change us just a little bit, and may his presence in our lives convert and change our hearts, so we may walk this world differently from others, so we may preach that word of God and his truth fearlessly, like a burning in our hearts. Because once we feel the love of God, we can't ignore it. We can't abandon it. That's the love that I want for you. And hope and pray for this poor priest, who's only 5 years ordained, that I will remain in God's love so that I can better serve you and better serve our God. So let us stand together and continue our prayer. As one community of faith, let us profess our faith in Christ and